All right, we're on and we're recording. Are we recording? Yes. You know, David, there's one of the Psalms that says, "Bless the Lord who daily loadeth us up with benefits." You know, and that's what I think about when I think about Thanksgiving. Incredible abundance, incredible loading up of benefits. But it's not just one time a year that he does it. The Word says he daily loads us up with benefits, you know, and Thanksgiving holidays, as we prayed a while ago, can be very stressful for a lot of folks, and we worry, whose house are we going to? How many days of school are we going to be off, you know, and where are we going to shop on Friday, you know, but there's some amazing principles in the Word of God, and I just want to dig right in. This is an in-depth teaching, and I'm going to try to bring it into maybe the Reader's Digest version today. But anyway, let's start reading at Luke 17 from the Amplified. It says, "As he went on his way to Jerusalem, it occurred that Jesus was passing along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into one village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they raised up their voices and called to Jesus, saying, 'Master, take pity. Have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go at once. Show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cured and made clean. Then one of them, upon seeing he was cured, turned back, recognizing and thanking and praising God. With a loud voice, he fell prostrate at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was there no one found to return and recognize and give thanks and praise to God except this alien?" Now, this passage is very interesting to me. It's one of the few times I think we see Jesus' humanity bleed through in the Scriptures. And Jesus, I think, looks and says, "Wait a minute. I just healed 9 of you. I mean, 10 of you, and only one's coming back. Where's the rest?" You know, it's interesting. There is a dearth there in the land right now. There is a sense of entitlement and lack of gratitude. People feel entitled to more and are thankful less than in any other time I have ever seen. I mean, there's an attitude. There was a song that came out about 20 years ago, and it was by Janet Jackson, and she said, "What have you done for me lately?" You know, that was the name of the song. But the principle is, God to most people is only as good as the last miracle that he's pulled out of his magician's hat. You know, it's like, "God, well, what have you done for me lately?" And we're going to talk about how Thanksgiving is a posture. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. I want to contrast two passages in the Word of God. One is 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, and then Matthew 24, 5 and 7. It shows the inward and the outward signs that we're in the last days. And 2 Timothy, where Paul is addressing Timothy, he says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors and headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." So Paul gives the outward signs of the last days. Jesus says in Matthew 24:5, Paul gives the inward heart condition of the last days. Jesus gives the outward signs. He says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and false Christ. But here Paul tells us, when we see these things in Timothy, when we see these heart conditions, you know that you are close to the return of the Lord. And he groups the unthankful in a group called with people who are unholy, who are blasphemers, who are brutal, and traitors. I think it's very interesting. This is one of two times, and we're going to look at the second time, that the word unthankful is mentioned in the entire New Testament. It occurs twice. The second time, yes, the second time is in the book of Luke. The second time is in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 32. Is that on your outline? Mm-hmm. Okay. "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, well, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to return back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners as much back." Now look at verse 35. But love who? Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping to get nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High God, for He is kind to who? The unthankful and the evil. Do you see that? Unthankful and the evil. This is one of two times where this word is used, where Paul used it in 2 Timothy and Jesus uses it here. The word unthankful is the Greek word acharistos. And here's what it means. Thankless, ungrateful, but literal. The literal meaning of acharistos is without grace, or that which fails to recognize God's grace. And it says God is good to the unthankful and the evil. The word evil here is the Greek word paneros, and it means demonic, degenerate, morally diseased, vicious, evil, harm, lewd, on and on. So Paul groups unthankful with the unholy, the blasphemers, the brutal, and the traitors. And Jesus groups it with the demonic, the wicked, the morally diseased, the degenerate, the unthankful. Now, I don't know which is worse. Those who receive His grace, I mean, those who don't receive His grace, the wicked, or those of us who receive His grace but fail to remember it. He says there will be people who are acharistos, unthankful. Now, here's the deeper meaning of this passage. Check this out. The message Jesus is conveying here in this Matthew passage is be good to your enemies. Do good to your enemies, right? Verse 35 says, but love your enemies. If you love those, what credit is to you? If you lend to those and you expect to get back, what credit? But love your enemies. Love your enemies is the context of this passage. And he's saying we should do this because God is good to His enemies, right? Mm-hmm. Who are the enemies of God? Look at verse 35. For He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Do you see that? The whole passage is love your enemies, love your enemies. And then Jesus slides this in, for He is kind, God is good, and the implication is to His enemies, those who are unthankful and those who are evil. That blew me away, that God groups in Jesus, in this teaching, groups the enemies of God and the unthankful are mentioned in there. Can you believe that? Wow. Why? Because I thought about it. Everything that you and I have ever received is the fruit of the grace of God. And when we fail to remember and give thanks for what He's done, we are literally slapping grace in the face. And He is a God of grace, as much or more than He is anything else. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil, the enemies of God. Well, how do you learn thanksgiving? Nothing, I think, frustrates us more as parents, or at least Lisa and me, on Christmas morning, when all the presents are doled out, and the kids are ripping and they're tearing through, and they finally get to the last one, and they sort of look up and it's like, is that it? Is that it?
Actually voice it at times.
Is that all, or is that it? As a parent, what does that do to the inside of you? Mm-hmm. Because they have no concept, of when you give your money is the closest thing to a living sacrifice you can give. Your money represents your time. It represents your efforts. It represents your time away from your family. It represents your creative ability. So when you're giving, your money or what represents money, they have no idea the value of what they just received. It drives us crazy. How much more? The Heavenly Father, everything flowed out of His kindness. Everything flows out of His goodness. And so I thought about it. Thankfulness must be learned. It's not innate in our carnal nature. Selfishness is inbred in our carnal nature. We are hardwired to be jealous, to be angry, to all of the works of the flesh. We've talked about those in the past, mentioned in Galatians 5. My mother, and some of you have heard this prayer, and I think some of you even have it, but my mother, every day of my life, from the time I can think about thinking, my mother said this prayer. She said, Heavenly Father, I thank You for another day of life. I thank you for a healthy mind. I thank you for a healthy body. I thank you that Jay and John and Jana have another day of life, that they have healthy minds and healthy bodies. And she would go on into this prayer where she'd plead the blood of Jesus to cover us, to keep us from harm, danger, disease, sickness, and evil, and every attack of the evil one. And she'd say, I thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against my children can prosper. And she would pray this prayer, but I grew up hearing, it was almost as if the day could not start without that prayer being prayed over us. And now we pray a modification of that over our children. But what happened was, even when I was in college, I'd find myself in the shower. That's sort of where I start my day with the Lord a lot of times, you know, is thank you, Lord, for another day of life. I do not take it for granted that I'm breathing. I thank you that my mind is sound, a healthy mind. I thank you that I have a healthy body. Thanksgiving has to be imparted through modeling the behavior. Why? Because it doesn't come easy. It doesn't come natural for us. If you study Psalm 107 in verses 1, 8, 15, 21, and 31, David says this, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and His mighty acts or wonderful works among the children of men. He goes on and he gives the filling in the between those passages. But oh, that men would give thanks over and over and over. It's done throughout the Psalms. I thought about it. Did you know that God had to institute as part of the Levitical sacrificial law an offering of thanksgiving? Now, why is that? Because we're ignorant and we get amnesia. And so he told the children of Israel, you shall offer in Leviticus 7:12, he says, he that offers it for a thanksgiving offering shall offer it with a sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes, mixed oil, unleavened wafers, on and on. Leviticus 22:39, when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. What is the issue? God knows. And he had to remind us, how sad is that he had to remind people to thank him? He put it as Levitical law. But I've said this before, I think the greatest sin of any type of success is amnesia. You forget. If you read Deuteronomy 6 and 7, God says, remember, do not forget. He says, after your silver is multiplied, and after your gold is multiplied, and after you've built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and planted vineyards and eaten from those, he said, you shall remember the Lord thy God. It was he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he might establish your covenant. And the thing is, when we become successful, we forget where it came from. We forgot who got us there, who took us to the dance, and we forgot who we're going home with. And it is God who has poured out great blessings. And so God had to remind the children of Israel, I'm going to make it a law that you thank me because you're ignorant and you get amnesia. Come on. Hello. People don't change, really. We're the same way too many times. We forget. Thanksgiving was always a part of God's. When God would do a mighty work, he would have Thanksgiving instituted. If you look at Nehemiah, just turn over to Nehemiah or look in there. Maybe I've got it typed out. Nehemiah 12:27. Now at the dedication of the wall in Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all of their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. And the sons of singers gathered round from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Netophathites, and from the house of Gilgal, and from the fields of Geba and Azmaveth. For the singers had built themselves villages all around Jerusalem. The priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates and the wall. And it says in verse 31, so I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. One went on the right hand of the wall and the other toward the refuse gate. What I think God's showing us here is thanksgiving is so important to him that he demands that a choir be set up just to thank him, just to remember. Why? Because he's the one who's made us. It is not we ourselves. And he says, somebody better remember that I am God and you are not. You know, and it is I who's doing this great thing in your midst. That leads me into, well, how do you move into a position of thanksgiving? Humility is the birthplace of thanksgiving. Humility is the birthplace of thanksgiving. Psalm 100, Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And look at verse 3. It says, know it is the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. You cannot get to verse 4 until you embrace the truth of verse 3. That God is God and we are not. It's only when you realize I'm His creation, He's the Creator, I'm His sheep, He's the Shepherd, that I can enter into verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. In other words, God says, don't come near me until you've given me thanksgiving. Don't enter into the gates where I live. Don't come into my neighborhood until you do it through thanksgiving. Do you see that? It's a mandate, David says. Don't try to enter in my presence without coming first through thanksgiving. That's the posture that you step into the presence of God. Oh, okay. Here you go. Barbara. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Y'all have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yes.
That's your the Heaven or Hell CD.
Oh, good, that you're giving for everybody. Thank you.
I only had 10 copies. I mean, I don't know how many there are of you, but it looks like 10.
All right. We'll burn them if we need to. Thank
God
you.
God bless you. Y'all have
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. So we move into position of thanksgiving through humility. That's the birthplace. The root of ungratefulness is self-sufficiency. I don't need you. I really don't need you. The root of self-sufficiency is pride. And so you have to get past both of those to enter. The root of ungratefulness is self-sufficiency. In other words, I don't need what you've done for me. I could have done it myself. You know, but the root of self-sufficiency is pride. I need no one but me. I'm the end all. I'm the be all. And I won't humble myself to tell you that I need you. All right. What does thanksgiving do? I love this passage. It's out of Psalm 50:23, but it's from the only one that says it this way is the Living Bible, but I love it. Because I did a Hebrew sort of exegesis or exegeting the word from the or Hebrew to English. Now here's what it means. Psalm 50:23. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me and prepares the way that I might show him the salvation of God. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me and prepares the way. The word honor here is the Hebrew word kabod, and it means to be heavy, to give weight, to increase, enrich, and cause to abound, to make heavy or to lay heavily upon. Have you ever heard somebody saying they laid it on him heavy? You know, laying it heavy. What God says, it comes from this. When we give Him honor, we are laying incredible heaviness and weight, or giving incredible weight, rather, to what He's done. It's like God is telling us, okay, it's okay to brag on me. It's really okay to brag because I'm the only one really worthy of bragging, you know, and so when we lay it heavy on God, it honors Him. He likes it. Now, He's not some super cosmic egomaniac. It's just He's the only one worthy in the universe of true bragging. You know, He's the only one worthy in the universe of us laying it on heavy. But what happens when we brag on God? I said this last week, so if you weren't here. When you ladies know, when man is made in the image of God, when you brag on your husband, it causes us to do stupid, crazy things to get more of it. I mean, we'll go out, you tell us we cut the yard good. Oh, baby, it's looking good out in that yard. You're doing a great job. We'll get out there with fingernail clippers and we will cut the grass with it. Why? Because there's something down on the inside of us that is created in the image of God that when you bless us and when you honor what we've done, it makes us want to, you know, become Tim the Tool Man. And, you know, we'll work hard for you to please you in that way. Thanksgiving is the language, or honor I should say, and thanksgiving is the language of heaven. It's so powerful on earth because it gets its origin in heaven. Listen, those around the throne of God, here's what they're doing, the elders. Revelation 4:9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever, The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever. And they cast their thrones before it, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Revelation 7:11, it says, "And the angel stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever and ever." That's the job of the 24 elders in heaven. That's the job of whoever those 24 elders are. The elders in the faith, all they do is sit around the throne of God and lavish blessing and glory and honor and thanksgiving and wisdom, strength, over and over and over and over. So when we follow what Psalm 50:23 says, "He who honors God prepares the way." Now what does this mean? This is the Hebrew word swum. S-U-W-M. And here's what it means. It changes, it charges, it conveys, it ordains and orders. You know what I think Thanksgiving does? I think it's like rolling out a red carpet before God. You roll out a red carpet, you prepare the way for God's presence to come in. And the rest of this verse says that I might show him my salvation. That word show means to manifest, bring into the light my salvation. And it's the Hebrew word yesha, and it means liberty, deliverance, prosperity, and safety. So if you concise it all into one continuous thought, he who lays it on me heavy, he who gives me incredible honor, rolls out or ordains a way that I might come in and bring to light and demonstrate my prosperity, my liberty, my deliverance, and my salvation for that person. When you give God thanksgiving, you orchestrate or you create an environment conducive for God to flex His muscle for you. Hallelujah. You create an environment for Him to come in. You know, praise is for, what is it? I've heard praise is for what He's done, and thanksgiving or worship is for who He is. You know, and when you lay those out, you put out a red carpet for God to come in. Alright, now some practical power of thanksgiving. And I'll try to cover these slower. Thanksgiving is an antidote, for fear and anxiety. Philippians 4:6. "Be anxious for nothing," stop, "but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." Do you see that? "Let your requests be made known to God." And then after you do that, verse 7, "And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." So in your prayer time, when you get into a posture of thanksgiving, it says, and when you do that, you allow the peace of God to come in, and it sets up guard. It literally stands as a sentry or a soldier outside the gate of your mind to keep it in peace and to guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I love this one. Thanksgiving increases your faith. Now, how in the world does it do that? Well, turn to Colossians 2:6. Listen to this. I'll give you a chance to turn. I think I just put the references, not the actual text. Colossians 2:6. "I thought faith came by hearing the Word of God." Well, it does. But thanksgiving increases or causes your faith to overflow. I'm going to show you. Colossians 2:6-7. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the" what? "Faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it." What is it? The faith. That's what he just says. With what? Thanksgiving. Let's read it again. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith." Now the faith, he carries on, "as you have been taught, abounding in it." Faith is what he's referring to. "With thanksgiving." What in the world does this word abound mean? How do you abound in your faith? What does thanksgiving do? It is the Greek word perisseo. Okay? And here's what it means. To have excess. To have superfluous. To cause to excel. To have more abundance. Abundantly be better. Enough to spare. Exceed, excel, increase, and remain over and above. He says, in your faith be established and abound in it with thanksgiving. Something about thanksgiving that I don't understand causes the faith that we have received from the Word of God to get on steroids. It causes it to expand, if you will. It causes it to swell. So the faith is the seed, but when you honor what His Word says by thanksgiving, it causes your faith to abound, to have more than enough. I don't know about you, I need more than enough faith. I need a superfluous amount. I need it to be enough to spare, to exceed. He says you abound in your faith with thanksgiving. What else does thanksgiving do? It adds resolve and focus to your prayer life. Same book, Colossians. Colossians 4:2. Look at this. Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with what? Oh, wait a minute. What are you saying here, Paul? Continue earnestly in prayer. Get vigilant with it in thanksgiving. Thayer's Greek lexicon tells us this Greek word, vigilant, means to watch, to have strict attention to be cautious and active. It is the same word used in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober and vigilant, for your adversary roams about like a roaring lion. He's telling us, Colossians, you can be vigilant with thanksgiving. How in the world does that happen? I don't understand it. But when you get absolutely focused on thanksgiving in your prayer life, he says it causes you to be alert. It causes you to be on guard. It causes you to be aware of the enemies, the lion that's roaring about. How does it do that? I think the more we focus on what God is doing and has done for us, the more keenly we are aware of our need for Him, and the more keenly we are aware of the attack of the enemy to come, steal, kill, and destroy. We had a drill when I played football, and we would get in the middle, and you'd have to start chopping your legs and moving your legs, and the guys would circle around you, and from any direction at any point, you could be hit. They would come up and they would try to bust you or hit you a lick. And so when you kept your feet moving, the Lord gave me this drill because I'm a football guy, but it made me think of that drill where I'm in the middle and I'm chopping my feet and I'm constantly looking for the guy who's going to try to deck me and take me out. And that's what thanksgiving does. He says, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Whew, it gets your spiritual feet moving. It opens your eyes around to what's going around you, and it keeps you sober. It keeps you grounded. It keeps being sober is being grounded, right? It means being aware. The opposite of that is being drunk. And how do we get drunk? We get drunk by excess. We get drunk when we don't recognize that God has given us something. We suddenly get blessed and blessed and blessed, and we get that amnesia. We get slow. We're not as keen as to where it came from, and we've got so much. But he says, be sober, be vigilant, move your spiritual feet. Thanksgiving precedes victory. It comes before victory. 1 Corinthians 15:7. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. In this passage, I see thanksgiving coming before victory. Thanks unto God who gives you victory. Before the victory, before the breakthrough, before the bills are paid, before the need is met, thanks be unto God. He gives us victory. Now this last one, I want you to stay with me. Maybe a stretch, but I think it's true. Thanksgiving is part or helps us appropriate God's promises. All right. Give you an example. How do we confirm that we've received a gift? You ladies who follow Emily Post, what are you supposed to do when you get a gift?
Thank you note.
You send a thank you note, don't you? The natural thing is to say thank you. What does the thank you do? The thank you confirms that you have welcomed and you have received the gift, right? So when we thank God, typically we are verbally or when we thank someone verbally or through some type of correspondence, we say thank you. We are acknowledging that we have taken possession of the gift, right? Thanksgiving is the mechanism where we acknowledge and embrace a gift, a pledge, or a promise. And so when we receive God's promises, the surety or the confirmation that we received them is a heart that goes up in thanksgiving. And we say, Father, thank you for this. What? It is the seal. It is out of the mouth, you know, a word is established. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, a word is established. We send forth a thanks and say, you know what, thank y'all for doing this. Barbara, who was just here, she offered us her place down at the Gulf for our anniversary last weekend. And Emily Post right here immediately followed up with a thank you note and a little, what was it, a little gift. You know, some coasters or whatever. You know, but what it said was, we honor what you did. We received it as a gift. And I believe God is the same way. It's the mechanism. A thankful heart is where we receive. You know, Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That doesn't become a reality in my life until I embrace it with a thankful heart. Say, wow. Oh, thank you, God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's letter until I receive it in my spirit with thanksgiving. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And I believe we appropriate God's promises through a power of thanksgiving. I'm receiving the power of this promise as a gift in my life. Why should we do it? I just gave you a lot of examples. Jesus was our model. I mean, if you look at Jesus' credentials, Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him all things were created, and that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities, all things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence." Did you know Jesus didn't have to thank anybody? I mean, His resume says, nah, everything consists because of me. I was before it. I'm in it. I made it. Yet, Matthew 11:25, at this time Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven." Matthew 26:27, He took the cup and He gave thanks. Mark 8:6, and He took the 7 loaves and He gave thanks. John 11:41, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me." Guys, His resume is unsurpassed. Yet He still understood the importance of giving thanks. Hallelujah. If He can do it, if He needs to do it, hello. John Potter needs to do it. You look at Paul, and I won't read all these, but his letter to the Romans, he started out, "I thank God." To the Corinthians, "I thank God always." To the Ephesians, "For this reason, ever since I heard about the Father, I have given thanks." Philippians, "I thank my God." To the Colossians, "I will always thank God, the Father of the Lord." To the Thessalonians, "We always thank God." To Timothy, "I thank God for whom I serve." On and on and on. The man who pens 2/3 of the New Testament understood thanksgiving was a part of his vocabulary. It was a part of his lifestyle. I want to close with this incredible story. I'll read it to you. It's not on your outline. Imagine this. You're on the coast of Florida. You're taking a nice evening walk. The beach is mostly deserted except for a few joggers, a few fishermen. Almost everyone has gone home for the day. You look up and see an old man with curved shoulders, bushy eyebrows, and bony fingers hobbling down the beach with a bucket in his hand. He carries the bucket up to the pier and begins to walk to the end of it. You notice his eyes turn towards the sky, and all of a sudden you see a mass of dancing dots head his way. You soon realize that these dots are seagulls coming out of nowhere. As the seagulls land, the man begins to take handfuls of shrimp from the bucket and throw them on the dock. The birds come to the man and he feeds them. Even when the shrimp are gone, the birds remain with the old man like old friends sitting at a dinner table after the food is gone. What's going on here? Why is this man feeding seagulls? What could compel him to do this as he does week after week, year after year? If you didn't know much better, you'd write this old man off as an eccentric fellow who's out of touch, wasting all that money on shrimp and seagulls. Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. The old man is named Eddie Rickenbacker, a famous World War II pilot. His plane, the Flying Fortress, went down in 1942 and no one thought he would be rescued. He and his 8 passengers escaped death by climbing into 2 rafts where they remained afloat for 30 days. They fought thirst the sun, sharks up to 9 feet long. But what nearly killed them was starvation. Their rations were gone within 8 days and they had nothing left. Rickenbacker later wrote that even on those rafts, every day they would have a daily devotional and prayer time. One day, after the devotional, Rickenbacker leaned back and put his hat over his eyes as he tried to get some sleep. Within a few minutes, he felt something on his head. He knew it in an instant. It was a seagull. But he also knew that there were hundreds of miles out to sea, a range which you normally would not find seagulls. He knew that catching this seagull could be a matter of life or death for him and his companions, with the others watching quietly so as not to scare the bird away. Rickenbacker quickly snatched the bird and with thanksgiving to God, killed it and fed it to the crew of survivors. They used the intestines of the fish as bait, to fish bait, and were ultimately able to survive. Rickenbacker never forgot that visitor who came and saved them. So every week, he went out to the pier with a bucket of shrimp and would throw them up saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Glory to God, the power of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Oh God, I'm stirred up again as we enter the next few days with so much on our plates. No, God, we'll have to throw away scraps and we'll eat leftovers all day Friday and possibly even on Saturday. I'm humbled again that we live here. I'm humbled again, oh God, that you daily load us up with benefits. Have mercy on us, oh God, that we won't forget your loving kindness. Thank you, God, that our cupboards are full. Thank you, God, that our children are healthy. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, that we live in this amazing land, that we can meet here together without fear of being broken into with soldiers with guns, but that we can just lift your name up. Thank you for these precious ladies, oh God, and I thank you for what they've meant to Lisa and me. Thank you. In spite of all of my brokenness, you called me worthy into the ministry. That you have a destiny for every one of these women. You have a destiny for their families and for their children, for their homes, that we could establish your great name as a praise in the earth. Ladies, I just think it would be appropriate right now for you just to take a minute. If you want to do it out loud, express your heart to God. He's listening right now.
Thank you so much for John and Lisa. I thank you that they were obedient to you, Father, following your call for their lives. And I just thank you, Father, that you just are with them and filling them up and keeping them pressing towards the goal, Father. And I praise you for that. I just thank you for Lord D opening our home and just letting us being able to meet here week after week. And I just it's probably pretty thankless. So thank you so much for doing that for us, just so that we can have a place to praise the Lord, to worship Him, and to grow into all that God called each of us to be. I thank you for each of our families, our immediate families and our extended families. And I just pray, Father, it is so on my heart that you especially be with us, each of us, this weekend, as we mix with our families and we blend together, that you just let us be vessels of your love. Because it may not always be returned, Father. And I just pray for you just to help us just to love all those around us. And it was so key with what John was saying earlier about loving your enemies. Not that our in-laws are enemies, but just help us to love them, Father, the way that you love them, regardless of how we're treated. I thank you, Father, for our precious children. Yes. And I just pray for safety for each of us for this weekend.
Thank you.
No matter what we're doing or where we're going, and just pray that you are just with us. And I just thank you, Father, for your son. Amen. And I'm so excited. I just praise you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Lord, you say that we just heard today and we know that that we have to be taught to be thankful because it's not our nature. And Lord, with this message, I just ask that you would just stir us up.
Yes.
As John has stirred us up this morning, that you would stir us up to teach a portion of this somehow, this Thanksgiving season, you know, around the dinner table, just in conversation.
Thank you, Lord.
To ourselves, we receive it with thanksgiving. And our spouses,
thank you, God.
And our children and our grandchildren. Lord, I thank you so much for your love that you would pour it out on us in this manner. We are so grateful. Yes. We are so thankful. And we love you. Yes. And we love you so much. Cause
amen.
Us to let this just come into our hearts and let it break our hearts, Father. Just cause your love and thanksgiving of your mercy and your grace, oh God. We bless you. We bless you. Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father.
Amen.
Father, I'm just in agreement with Betty. Father, I just ask that we would be so filled when we leave this place, Father, that it would be contagious. I pray that the rest of this week, Father, we would so splash over to other people, Father, that the thanksgiving in our heart, it would just flow and it would touch other lives, Father. That I thank you, Father, that in the midst of this death, Father, that not just myself but others, Father, in the midst of what is just a grieving time, Father, that you have put such thanksgiving in my heart, Father, that you have blessed me and just continue to just pour your love out on me. I thank you, Father, that we might tend to go down a path, Father, or get off the path, Father, but you are so faithful to just lovingly put us right back on that path, Father, and to show us that it is just a love affair with you, Father, and that our minds might wander to other things, Father, but you so gently just love us back and just show us who you are, Father, and how much you do love us. And I'm so grateful for that, Father. I just the way you love us. And I do just ask that we would be so filled with that when we leave here, Father, we would carry that fragrance to everyone we meet.
Praise.
It would just be a fragrance, Father, that would draw people, Lord, that it would just be you, Father, that your heart would go with us, Father.
Thank
you for
God.
And for Lisa, Father, the faithfulness, Lord, to just pour into us, Father, mm-hmm. just pour into them. And that, again, that we would take and pour it into others that you bring across our path. We love you, we adore you, and we thank you. Thank you for loving us the way you love us.
And thank you for this new life that's in for us.
Yes.
And this baby is wonderfully and wonderfully made. This baby has every day of its life scheduled. That you have blessed this child with a wonderful mother and father. That, like King David said, our lot has fallen in a beautiful place. This baby comes into a beautiful place.
Thank
a home that's so full of love and overflowing with thanksgiving that you have answered all of our prayers, Father. I thank you for us. I thank you that she just radiates the love of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for blessing this baby to be a blessing to others when it comes into the world.
Thank you, Father, for how you sustain us. I confess the sin of ungratefulness. And in that, I pray for the grace for true repentance. That not day, but one day would go by where I wouldn't show thankfulness to you in an outward way.
Yeah.
And that it wouldn't just be lip service, but be authentic from the heart. I thank you that you keep giving us chance.
Amen.
You're so patient. When we beg and pray and ask for things that you've already told us are ours, you're so patient.
Thank you.
And I pray that where we've been praying prayers of begging rather than thanking, that you would even
Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you for Thanksgiving, Lord. I thank you that our forefathers knew how important it was, Lord. Mm-hmm. Just to set aside one day, Lord, and I just ask that it not just be one day. Father, I thank you so much for everything that you've done for us, for everything that you've done for every single person that comes here, Father. I thank you, Lord. I ask that this time that we're away from school, away from everything familiar, Lord, I just ask that you would have peace that passes understanding. Just follow us, Father. Every single person here, Lord, I ask that we would this year more than any year be especially aware of everything we have to be thankful for. Lord, I ask that our kids learn it from us. Like
yes,
God said, Father, it is a learned behavior. They don't come out thankful. And Lord, I don't want to be guilty of not being thankful in front of them, Lord. And I don't want to be guilty of not being thankful in front of you.
Amen.
Please show us how to teach them. How to teach people around us, Father, to be so thankful. We're so prone to look at the negative and look at what's wrong instead of what's so amazingly right.
Pray.
And Father, like Graham Cook, let us expect your goodness. Not expect something to happen bad. Father, I thank you, Lord. I ask that we would have testimonies next week of how your faithfulness,
Hallelujah.
Your peace, Lord, how... Lord, I just want to be thankful for my kids. So many times I'm not even thankful for them, Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Please let us have testimonies of how amazing you were. Father, let us look for that instead of what's wrong. In the name of Jesus.
Father, even as the angels that you're throne bow regularly before you, crying, holy, holy. Every time they rise from bowing, they see a new aspect of who you are, and it overwhelms them, and out of their innermost being comes this word, holy.
Yes,
Father, cause us to see you, and because we see you,
yes, Lord.
Father, that we would be totally thankful, Father, because to see you in every new aspect that you would reveal yourself, in the provisions that you provide for us, in the grace that you give us, in the mercy that you bestow upon us, that out of our innermost being would flow that word, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Father, make it so real that it's not just a word that is... we use that it's repetitious, but Father, cause it to come from a spirit filled with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus. Lord, thank you for bringing me back to Birmingham, bringing me back home this year. Lord, it's Thanksgiving that we arrived in California 18 years ago, 17 years ago. And it was Thanksgiving that we left 1 year ago. Here we are again 1 year later.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father.
Thank you so much for what you've done in our lives in just 1 year.
Hallelujah.
Lord, for what you're doing in my husband.
Hallelujah.
Even this day.
Thank you.
This will be our first time to be with our family. For Thanksgiving in 18 years.
Wow.
Be with us, Lord. Lord, may it be a very special day. Thank you so much.
Praise God.
What you've done to my daughter in just this past year. How you touched and changed her. The only way that you could have done.
Oh.
Lord, I want to thank you for this group, and I just thank you that it's a place that we can come and, you know, just be in your presence. And Lord, I thank you so much for John and Lisa, and I thank you just for their ministry, and I thank you for their friendship, Lord. I thank you for their prayers, and I just thank you for the people that you've created them to be. And Lord, we don't want to take that for granted, and I just truly am so thankful that you put me in their lives, and Lord, that I just pray that you would bless them, bless them to overflowing.
I thank you for getting all the cancer out of my body this year.
Amen.
Thank you for bringing me into the kingdom. That you take everything that was meant for you. That's really cool.
Thank you for bringing Adam home. Lord, I thank you for the freedom that you have given me. That you have taken my life out of the pit and put me on solid ground. I thank you that you have brought my family this far. That you have been faithful. That you've never let us go. That you've never let us go. I worship you, Lord. Because you've been good to us.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do.
Yes.
We thank you for our future that we live and breathe. And you, Father, that's the way we want it. Thank you that every day that we cling tighter and tighter to you. Thank you that you're our lifeline, that you're our life, you're everything, Father. We bless you. We put our trust in you for our future.
Lord, we thank you that we can go from glory to glory, to glorify the Lord, to bring the truth to people around us and with our families, with our friends, we don't know who you really are, Lord. Just thank you for that. And I thank you for the potters. I just ask for your hand upon them, their travel, their protection, Lord. Their faith in you, Lord, is a gift back to give to us, let us give it back to them in the sevenfold. Thank you for the love for each other and your family and the love for us that they have. Lord, that we have, Lord, we just honor you and praise you, and we just give you all the glory.
Thank you for the beginnings.
Father, I thank you for that, which I often tell you that I am the most grateful for, Father, and it is for eyes to see you. And Father, how many times I've said I could be anybody on the street, Father, who didn't know you, and yet you chose to open my eyes, and I am eternally grateful. And Father, I just ask that you would take us, Father, into places where you would use us as vessels, Father, to plant that seed to open others' eyes, Father. Oh, that we might be used for that purpose, Father, that others would see you and know you, Father. For that, I am eternally grateful. I just worship you.
Amen.